May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Chosen from our epistle lesson. Did you listen carefully to that second lesson? What word jumped out at you? I imagine it was not the word chosen. In my thinking, the word predestination was the word that jumped out at you, right? Predestined. I imagine for some of you, it set off some alarm bells. Am I predestined to be saved? Or am I predestined to be damned? Eternally lost. There's our number one enemy, Satan. He points you to yourself, that habitual way that you sin. You continually and repeatedly act and think in ways that are unchristian and, let's face it, downright evil. You're lost, Satan says. So you might as well go all the way and give in all your evil desires. And then there's enemy number two, and that would be you yourself. You call yourself loser, failure, unlovable. You know what you do and what you think, and it's ugly. In your honest moments, you know that you're far from being what you should be. And then these two enemies of ours merge together, and they become a potent force in shaping what we think and maybe who we are. And it's making you all the more anxious, maybe even terrified. Now add to that that some followers of John Calvin had a theology which proclaimed that some have been elected from the foundation of the earth to be damned. To be damned. These wretched souls need not look to Jesus for help. They're already accursed, and there's nothing they can do about it. There was in the past some strict Baptist chapels in England that refused to post notices of their service times because they didn't want any of the non-elect to join them in worshiping God. So is this double predestination true? That is, some are already predestined to be saved and some predestined to be damned? Is it true? Is it biblical? Well, we go to the Word of God and we find clearly that it isn't true. It isn't. The Lord is not wishing any to perish, but all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Careful reading of the Bible will demonstrate beyond the shadow of a doubt that the doctrine of predestination only concerns the children of God, the saved. Our scripture for today reveals how much God loves people, how crazy he is for us. He means to show us that he is totally, totally responsible for our salvation. Look at the wonderful things he says in the epistle lesson today. There's seven of them. Seven things, maybe more, but I found seven, right? Of how much he loves us. Number one, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Number two, he chose us before the foundation of the world. Number three, in love, he predestined us and adopted us. Number four, he redeems us and forgives us and lavishes us with his love. Number five, he makes known the mystery of his will toward us. And six, he makes us inheritors of his richness of eternal life. And number seven, he seals us and marks us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is true that God knows all things. But his foreknowledge, and that's what we call it, his knowing all things, his foreknowledge is distinct and different from his election, choosing us. For again, as he says, he wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. In fact, you ought to, that's 1 Timothy 2:4. If you have any doubts that he wants all, go to that passage, underline it, right? Highlight it. He wants all to be saved. We should look to God's clear word that he wants all to be saved and not attempt to theorize or investigate this predestination in the secret counsel of God. Don't have theories. Go to this, the word of God, where he says he wants all to be saved. If people don't go to heaven, and if they are condemned, it is not because God didn't want them. It's because they rejected the Savior, Jesus Christ. God gives us freedom in only one direction, to reject him. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. What about those people that never heard the gospel, right? Well, first of all, I want to say that's not you, all right? That's not you. And that's for another sermon. So you have to keep coming back to hear round two of this, right? There is nothing in us that caused our salvation. Jesus worked out our salvation completely. It is a free gift, those who believe in Jesus, the Jesus who died for our sins and rose for our justification to put us right with the Father. But numerous times in my 40-year ministry, people have come to me not assured of their salvation. They may point to one sin or another that they repeatedly do. I do the same thing all the time. They claim they're not good enough, that they commit the unforgivable sin, that they don't have a zeal that they see in other Christians, or they may not be sure they have the Holy Spirit. So when they come to me, I usually ask a couple of questions to them. I say, when you do that sin over and over again that you mentioned, how do you feel about that? What does that do to you? And they will say, well, it makes me sad. I hate that I do it. I'd like to conquer it. Good, then I ask them the second question. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross? And do you believe that by his dying for your sins on the cross, he puts you right in a right relationship with the Father? And they say, yes, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I do believe that that put me right with the Father. Then I declare, you are the elect. You can be assured you're a child of God on your way to heaven because, number one, the true Christian is sad about their sin and earnestly wants to be forgiven. The false Christian and the non-Christian really don't care if they sin. It causes them hardly any trouble at all. And two, you're the elect because you believe that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. And you couldn't call him Savior or Lord unless you had the Holy Spirit. The false Christian and the non-Christian stumble over Jesus. They doubt who he is or openly reject him. And so I say to this nervous and anxious person, my friend, you are chosen because you desire forgiveness of sins and because you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and is your Lord. Boy, Pastor, you make that so simple. But let me speak to you, serious but excessively self-examining Christians. All right? Your doubts and fears are caused by dwelling on yourself, on your inadequacies, on your sins, on your doubts, and your shortcomings. What I say to you, because I'm one of you. I'm one of those excessively self-examining people, is what I think the Spirit says to us. Focus on Jesus Christ. Take your eyes off of yourself. Focus on Him. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the Bible tells us. The Word says, because He's the author and perfecter of your faith. He developed the faith in you. And then focus on His promises. If you read in the New Testament, there's the promises of Jesus, and that's what you ought to focus on. For instance, I'll give you some of them. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I lay down my life for the sheep. Or I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Promise. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. I could go on and on and on, right? Most of those are from the Gospel of John, so I ignored a whole bunch of the rest of the New Testament. I'll give you one that's not from John. John, I will never leave you or forsake you. That sound good? The good news of the gospel, of God's plan of salvation, it is that it never relies on what we have done or will do, but on what Jesus has done and finished. His work is completely finished for our salvation. Now, let this thought sink into your heart. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins, if you're sorry about your sin, and know that He is your Savior and Lord, you are chosen, you are predestined, you're elected, you're adopted, you are a child of God. I want you to think of a door, the door that leads to eternity, okay? The sign on the door as you face eternity, it says, come, enter in all who would believe in Jesus. And then when you get on the other side of the door, after your death, you look back and you see the sign on the door, chosen before the foundation of the world. I can't wait to see that. Before God created a wave of light, or even a drop of H2O, He chose you. He chose you. Go to Psalm 139. I formed you in the womb. I knew you. I chose you. God chose you not because you're holy, but to make you holy. God chose you not because there was something in you or even in view of your future faith in Him, but simply because of His grace. And I know that's a mystery because it's a wild and crazy love that He's given to us. So let this be the year of Jesus. Let this be the year of Jesus. All the Bible's about Him. Where did I put that? I don't have it here. Oh, yes, I do. Here it is. All the Bible is about Jesus. And again, I have a goal for you. If you're going to read one book all the way through, and I know some of you have read some big books, you know, of over 1,000 pages or something, let it be the Bible. Let it be the Bible. I know you're going to come to Leviticus. It's tough. I know. It's tough for me, too. Oh, no. I've been reading the Bible year after year for well over 30 years, you know, probably about 39 years, you know, because I started pretty soon after. And I get to Leviticus, it hadn't changed much. I say, God transformed this book. No, He doesn't do it. But there's good in there. It's good. I'm not, you know. Let this be the year that you read the entire Bible, right? I'm going to get... back there, there's some of these Bible guides I use as a simple Bible guide. Let me ask you, how many have read the Bible all the way through? Raise your hand. Oh, my goodness, that's great. That's wonderful. I know Pastor Phil has read it in different languages. Yes, yes. Because he's a Bible nerd. Right. Somebody's got to do it. Right. I guarantee you'll read through the Bible, like one of my favorite books is what I'm reading right now, Genesis, right? And you'll identify with the characters. You'll see yourself in them. You'll even go the way they go. You'll experience some of the things they experience, right? Because the Bible's full of action. It really is. It's a great book. And if you're on the way that Jesus paved to eternal life, why don't we bring as many with us as we can? Let's tell the good news and humbly invite others to come to church to hear the message. You know? We don't preach at them. We're not bashing them over the head. We just said, do you know I go to church most every Sunday? Could you come with me sometime? We'll go out to lunch afterwards. Bribe them, whatever you need to do, right? And say, why don't you come with us? You know? And then, by the way, the pastor there, this old pastor, the decrepit one, he teaches this adult inquiry class. And it's really, really good. I went through it once. I passed. No, it's not bad. And come in February, he's going to teach it again, right? He's still teaching the old one. Two more sessions, by the way, for those of you come, right? And really, it'll open up a different world to you. It's just as simple as that. Invite people to hear the word. You don't have to have all these explanations. So all praise to the Father who loves us with a spectacular love, who sent Jesus Christ to bring us to him. He chose us. We didn't exactly choose him, but we've received him. We are the chosen ones, my friends. Let it fill you with joy and gratitude and humility. And humility. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.